The Roman Show is back at it again. The Roman Show is back at it again. And on this special night, we have three champions. We are titling this episode as Champions Night because we have CFA champions Josh Sample, Sean Soriano, and Marcelo Faya all on the program. And also XFC, Corey Hill will be on the program. He will be fighting on the next show scheduled for February. He is coming up a loss and is looking forward to bounce back in the world of mixed martial arts. He is also a former Bellator veteran. Also, we will discuss UFC on Fox, Vitor Belfort's knockout kick against Michael Bisping, and so much more in the Roman Show, which starts right now.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show. The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Nelly from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
Hey, what's up? This is Brett the Grim Rogers listening to The Roman Show.
And the Roman Show back at it again. Follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. Right now, the action, we are tweeting live as we speak. Also, make sure you like the fan page on Facebook. Just look up The Roman Show. And on the other side, finally, after almost a year, the man has his seat back. The MMA Encyclopedia, Guillermo Garcia, joining us back at it again in the program. Guillermo, man.
Awesome. Yeah, it's good to be back, man. I've really missed covering the sport. You know, I didn't get to cover it as much as I wanted to over in Australia, but it's good to be back in the fold here in Miami where, you know, we have a lot of events going on and a lot of different camps such as American Top Team, MMA Masters, the Black Zillions, all in the area. So it's good to be back in the mix and looking forward to talking about the sport.
Did you get to see some of the, of course, you saw the UFC live over there on TV. But did you get some of the culture, feel of MMA? I understand that on the west coast of Australia, I believe it is, I could be wrong, they're trying to ban the sport?
Well, no, they're not trying to ban the sport. They're trying to ban the cage. They're okay with mixed martial arts, but they insist on having a ring, which is actually pretty dumb because the cage actually protects fighters from falling out of the ring and busting their head on the concrete after falling a few feet down from the ring, you know, so, yeah, definitely, I mean, they need to either just get rid of the sport if they really don't want it, or keep it and put the cage in place because it's there for the safety of the fighters.
Very interesting. Did you get more of a feel of it? Did you meet any fighters, Australian fighters in your journey over there?
Well, like I said, I did, I was there in the Gold Coast for the last event that happened, the Ultimate Fighter Smashes finale, the one between the UK and Australia. I was there in the Gold Coast for the weigh-ins. But I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but everything in Australia costs four times as much as it does in the U.S. So a ticket that would cost me $80 to go to a UFC here cost me $320, $350 over there. So I just couldn't afford to attend that show. And unfortunately, we couldn't call them in time to get me in on a press pass. But I did get to attend the weigh-ins and see some of the fighters. You know, our good friend Hector Lombard was there, and he won impressively in his fight. And, you know, I've met a few of the guys. You know, a few of the guys do train in Sydney, so I did have some friends that were training jiu-jitsu over there in one of the camps where Anthony Perosh and James Tehuna train.
Yeah, that's absolutely great, man. Great stuff out there, but you're back here in South Florida, and in fact, you had the opportunity of, well, covering the first event of many to come in South Florida, that CFA Night of CFA 09 Night of Champions, and boy, were we in for a treat. We had 14 fights. All of them just surprises, you know, those four title fights were all impressive and definitely left the Bank United Center with their mouth open because they were in shock, especially the Marcelo Alfaya versus Valdir Araujo when he knocked him out in 25 seconds. No one expected that. So soon.
Yeah, I mean, Valdir has looked so impressive lately, and to see him go down so quickly like that, was really, really shocking. But Alfaya, you know, he's a Bellator veteran, and he's fought guys like Jake Ellenberger before, so he showed off that experience in that fight against Valdir.
He did, he did. But also another shock that we had, Luis Babum Palomino, just dominated by Luis Buscapé Firmino, a veteran of the sport, fought overseas. The guy just pretty much had a field day with Palomino. And Palomino had been on a four-fight winning streak. We had been bedazzled by his great, great flashy moves, knocked out Jay-Z Calvacante, but it just wasn't enough for the Brazilian as he took the belt. Well, it was an opportunity for Palomino to go for five belts since he already owns four, but didn't get to lift the five because Buscapé took it away from him. Just, the guy's jiu-jitsu is just sick, man. It really is.
Yeah, I know. Palomino, it just seems like every time he fights like a top-notch UFC world champion type caliber guy, he just seems to come up short. And hopefully he's able to break this cycle sometime soon. But he's come up short against guys like Pat Curran, against Buscapé, against Eve Edwards. Every time he's up against a top-notch guy, he seems to fall. You know, Jay-Z Cavalcante, give him credit for that victory, but Cavalcante has not been that great. He wasn't what he was at the beginning of his career, where he started off like 14-1. Lately, I believe he's something like 3-5, 3-6 in his last nine fights. So, you know, I love Palomino, but he has trouble with guys that can take him to the ground and hold him there. He's got, you know, serviceable jiu-jitsu, which, you know, but against a top-notch, elite, world-class type guy like that, he just didn't have an answer for it, unfortunately.
Yeah, he didn't. In the third round, he tried to come back with those flashy kicks, those flashy punches, but then again, Buscapé just found some way, somehow, to bring him back on the ground and use his bread and butter of jiu-jitsu. And just pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one moment where Palomino came out fired up, he was just really frustrated. Yeah. You should have, for guys that were there, he was kicking his stool. He refused to sit down in his corner. He was just really, really upset with himself. And he came out fired up, and he caught, you know, Buscapé in a moment where Buscapé was a little bit tired. And Buscapé allowed it to remain standing for a couple minutes, giving the fans a little hope of something more exciting, because at that point we were all pretty sure Buscapé was just going to cruise to a decision victory. We weren't going to see a finish. He did give us a little excitement there for a little bit, but unfortunately Buscapé just took back control once he gained his breath.
He sure did. All right, let's give a ring here to Josh Sampo, another gentleman who shocked the Bank United Center as he defeated Alexis Vila via submission. Top-ranked Josh Sampo on the line, who is now the flyweight champion of Championship Fighting Alliance. We're going to try to get a hold of him. And, of course, we'll take a look back at what was the UFC and FX in Brazil, which was another exciting event as well.
Hi, this is Josh's phone. Please, he left.
He's probably a little. I know I last spoke last to him, and he was getting submission there with training and whatnot. But nonetheless, that Josh Sampo and Alexis Vila was another exciting fight. For, you know, for the, pretty much most of the fight, Vila
maybe a one round or two. That belongs to Sampo. But for the most part, Vila had a good hand on this fight. He just got caught. He got caught straight in the bottom, which, like I said, everyone was shocked in that building, Guillermo.
Yeah, I mean, that fight was pretty hard to score. I mean, there was, one round that I would say clearly went to Vila, and one round that clearly went to Sampo. But I had a hard time scoring a couple of those rounds. I know you felt that Vila won those. I mean, I wasn't completely sure who won those. So I didn't know if it went to a decision. I wasn't completely sure of who was going to win that. Unfortunately, Vila got a little too aggressive, left his neck out there, and got caught in a guillotine choke. And I know, I remember your face. You thought, oh, he's just going to, get out of this hold, and then they're going to go to decision. But he ended up tapping out to your surprise.
Yeah, everyone was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I think everyone
had I saw it. I was like, man, that looks really tight. I didn't think Vila was going to get out of that. But, he's really tough. Maybe he knows some tricks that I don't. But that hold looked really, really tight. And you could see that he was, you could see him cringing, from the hold. That he's struggling to get out of that. He couldn't breathe. But, Sampo really, really surprised us all. I mean, I remember you telling me before the fight, you thought Vila would finish in less than a round. Ended up being a lot more competitive than that, for sure, obviously.
Yeah, no, great stuff there coming out. And then lastly, to discuss Victor Delgado versus Sean Soriano. Delgado just dominating. Soriano dominating Delgado with his strength. Just very powerful dude. And Delgado had some opportunities to submit his opponent, but it was just too much for him. It just really was too much.
Yeah, Soriano absolutely smashed Delgado for the first two rounds. And we were thinking, man, this fight can stop at any time. And then Delgado, started to mount a little comeback at the end of the second round, and it ended up reversing Soriano. And then he actually was, arguably won that third round. And then after that, Soriano just went back to dominating. And he ended up winning it 4-1 on two cards and 5-0 on the other card. But, that fight, for the most part, was just Soriano being able to take down Delgado and just absolutely smash him once he got him there. There was just a couple moments where Delgado was able to reverse things, but for the most part, Soriano was in complete control of that fight. Unfortunately, because of how dominant he was, there wasn't much of, that heart racing, going on, because it was pretty well in hand that he was going to win it. But apart from those first two rounds, it didn't look like in the fourth or fifth round that he had the gas to finish Delgado at that point. We thought the cut that Delgado had might have stopped it, but the doctor never did stop that fight.
Yeah, no, he managed to stay on board and not get taken out of that card. Let's go ahead and try to reach out to Josh Sampo one more time. I know that he was busy, like I stated, but hopefully he'll answer now. I know he was training. Champion is still training. You believe it. A guy wins, he's back at it again in the gym. It never stops for a champion. For getting a hold of Josh Sampo. Not that we'll try a little later. We understand he was getting busy there. But we will have Sean Soriano afterwards. Alright, so we'll try on calling you in a bit for Josh Sampo as he defeated Top Rock Flyweight. This guy is just a few away from possibly being called into the UFC with a victory over Alexis Vila. And this was Alexis Vila's return fight. He had been injured. He had lost two in a row in Bellator. Unfortunately, he has now three losses in a row. But this was it, Guillermo. This was a fight that could have determined the future for Alexis Vila. If you're Alexis Vila, a guy who's in his 40s, should you give it another shot? Should you keep fighting, or do you just call it quits?
Yeah, I'm not one of those guys that likes to tell people what to do with their careers. We don't know his financial situation and all that. I mean, he could keep on fighting if he wanted to, but I don't know if he's ever going to make it to a UFC or Bellator ever again. And, financially, if he needs to, he'll continue. But I don't think that he's going to end up making it to the big leagues. This is his big opportunity. He had his huge opportunity, obviously, in the Bellator tournament. But, it seems like he's not fighting the way we saw him earlier in his career. I hope that maybe there's just something going on in his personal life and he can get it back together. But, from what I've seen in his last few fights, it just doesn't seem like he's the same guy anymore.
Yeah. Well, you also have to consider the fact that he did lose his father prior to the fight, which mentally, that can really take a toll on you. So you have to consider that. mentally, are you there? Do you want to fight? And that
plays a good point.
Role.
That's definitely a good point. It could be that, but again, it's still a huge blown opportunity. I mean, I don't know if the UFC is going to take the time to figure out, oh, wait, there's something going on with his dad or whatever. I mean, maybe
right.
he can get in on a short notice sort of situation where guy gets injured
right.
like 2 days before and the UFC needs him. I'm hoping it works out for him that way, and at least he can try to prove himself. But I don't see the UFC just calling him, like, you know, 3 months in advance or something. I think it's going to have to be some sort of last-minute scenario like that for him to get in at this point. And he's going to need a couple more victories, I mean, to even get to that, I think.
That's right. Well, we'll be getting hold of Josh Sampo in just a few. But right now, instead, we're going to have CFA welterweight champion Marcelo Alfaya, who left that entire building surprised. I'm telling you, man, everyone was shocked. He even shaved his beard off after the victory, which we got to ask him. I saw him posing afterwards with a belt. He was taking pictures without the beard. Like, is that really the guy who just beat Valdir Araujo? Because he's clean shaven now. He has no beard.
Hi.
Hello, Marcelo.
Hello.
Welcome. Congratulations, man. Congratulations on the victory on Saturday.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks so much again for taking some time and speaking to us here on the Roman Show. You're on with Guillermo and myself, Rodolfo. First and foremost, I got to ask you, what happened to the beard? Did you have a bet going on?
Say it again?
What happened to your beard? Did you shave it after your victory?
Yes. When I close the fight, I make contracts. I start to grow my beard. And they went finish the fight, and it finished.
So you've been growing it since how long?
I think 2 months and a half. 2 months and a half. I know it's been exactly, but it's 2 months in the minimum.
So is that a superstition for you, and why do you do it? Why do you grow the beard and then you shave
no,
it off?
No, and when I grow up my beard, I put in the side in my vanity, I strike fops. Is every day I look at my face, I like training more and more.
Interesting, man. Well, I'd like to talk to you about 25 seconds. You knocked out Valdir, a former teammate of yours. Were you surprised the way you finished this fight? Were you expecting something different from this fight?
Yes, I trained hard for 5 rounds, but I trained it together my coach, Mike Rhodes. I trained this combo a lot, and the faking the jab and the enter my right hand. And the work is for me the... I too happy. I know hurt a lot to him. One shot is alright. Finish for me is really nice.
Yeah, you know, he had fought Paul Bradley and he had taken a couple of hits to the head. So everyone was shocked that he just got knocked out so quickly.
My hand is strong, man.
Yeah,
I have. I have a good shot.
Now, were you expecting for you and him to go on the ground and both of your jiu-jitsu black belts, were you expecting to go on the ground at any moment in the fight? Was that what you were preparing your mind?
Look, in my game for this fight, I train a lot of box right now, and my coach, Brian, put me in the professional box, and they put me, and I train a lot of sparring, and I train together in the professional box. My hand is good, and my game for this fight really is stand up. I extend, I go beat him up, he go try to take it down. I train a lot of wrestling for this fight. And in my ground, I have my ground because I started the jiu-jitsu. And my game for this fight is hand good, and working. What happened, the hand working. More speed, what I think about. I think about is maybe how the number two, maybe I make him tired, but work speed is better. It's very nice for my career, for my record, because really in the UFC, like in the shy, strong shots and the finish, and knockouts and standard or submission. It's all right.
So when you got that when you knocked him out, did you feel that state, that arena, just quiet down? Because he had a lot of support, and it just pretty much just went down when you knocked him out. Everyone was in shock.
Yeah, no, look, inside the cage is, for me, is everything is the semi-Roma. In the old gladiators, I feel good energy, and I knocked out him. For me, I'd be a lot happy because I no sweat. It's not in my training for 2 months hard. Work speed. Work quick.
Yeah. Guillermo?
Yeah. You're now on a 3-fight winning streak over the last year or so, and you fought great guys like Jake Ellenberger, Luis Baña Kane. I mean, where do you see your career going now, and where do you feel you are as a fighter, and what do you think you have to improve?
Right now, I know that my manager working. Maybe I have a contract with FCA. I think about protect my belt, and I wait for everything. UFC, if you come in UFC, I wait. If you come in one more CFA title, I wait. Whatever comes, I wait. I start training one more time today. I start one more time. I have only two days off. And today I start great condition. I start training box today. One more time right now. I finish my training 30 minutes before. Let's go work one more time. I like make 4 fights this year.
Gotcha. Now, over the last couple of years, you've only fought once per year over the last 3 years. Have you had some injury issues? Is that the reason why?
Yes, after this fight in the CFA, now I make one surgery in my elbow. And when I supposed to fight in the Paul Blender, but 1 month before in the fight, and I train in jiu-jitsu, and the guy put in the knee in my rib. And my rib trap, my hip trap, there is no possibility that now Araújo fight blended, but right now I think this year is my year. I like make a lot of fights this year.
And Marcelo, so you're going to defend this title. Well, now, do you have a contract with CFA? How long can we expect you to?
Yeah, I have more 3 fights. I have more 3 fights. Only CFA dropped me if I close something in the UFC. Only
no time for us, for you. You're going at it again. You're going back to the gym already and start training.
Yes. No time. No need. I all right.
So how did you celebrate?
I celebrate together with my coach. I eat something. I know drink, you know, I like it. This year I like it, fight a lot. I like make my goal. I like put my career up.
Gotcha. Well, Marcelo, anything else you'd like to add, Guillermo?
Congratulations. I like to thank you, everybody that helped me, and Liborio, Master Liborio, Master Conan, Mike Rhodes, my coach boxing, Tatel Cubes, my Muay Thai coach, Roger Crown, my Muay Thai coach, Austin Fishman, my condition coach, Everton, my condition coach too. And thank you, Jesus. Jesus giving me this fox for I train a lot. And he helped me. My Lord is really nice.
Awesome. Well, Marcelo, thanks so very much, man. And congratulations again on your victory. And hope to talk to you soon again. For any word on when you're going to defend this title again?
I know have idea, but when I have idea and I spoke my manager talk to you, you call me one more time, is one pleasure to talk to you, man.
Thank you. Have a good night, Marcelo.
You too. Bye-bye, man.
Thank you. Well, you heard it, Guillermo. While Marcelo fired, he shaved his beard. You know, he lets it grow for about 2 months, and then once he wins, he shaves it off. This is the way it works for him. A lot of superstitions, though, with some fighters. You know that? What are some of the weird superstitions you have heard of, Guillermo?
Just guys not washing their jock straps ever and things like that, man. You know, which is pretty gross when you think about it. But, you know, stuff like that does happen all the time, you know.
Yeesh, that is pretty nasty.
Yeah, it is pretty nasty. But you know what happens, man. It's not just in this sport. You know, it's football and all these other sports. Guys not washing their underwear ever or their undershirt or what have you. There's stuff like that, you know. I mean, for example, John Fitch sort of does the same thing. He always grows out a beard before his fights as well. And, between fights, he's clean shaven. So it's not something that's that abnormal.
That's right. Well, Guillermo, let's go to a quick little break here, and we'll be right back with more on the Roman Show. We got Sean Soriano coming up next, followed by Corey Hill, then Josh Sample. And we're also going to have a gentleman of Apocalypse MMA. This gentleman, what he does is he helps fighters, young fighters, to create your own website for free. You don't have to pay a dime. He'll explain all the details coming up soon on The Roman Show.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH. Or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show. Every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com. And notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of the Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's
well, Guillermo, it seems like a big major upset is about to happen right now in college basketball, right? University of Miami is winning right now 88-54 against the top-ranked Duke with 1 minute and 29 seconds left in the game.
Yeah, this is a massive, massive upset. I mean, if UM would have won, this would have won by 1 point. This would have been a big deal. But they're up by 33 currently. Like, it's 88-55 right now. It's absolutely unbelievable. This is going to bring a lot of attention to UM. I mean, a lot of attention. Wow. They're going to jump at least 10 spots in the polls, and Duke could drop like 5-6 spots on account of this. I mean, this is a major upset.
Wow, I think we're going to see a whole bunch of people go wild on that court at the University of Miami.
Yeah, they're going to run out there.
Oh, yeah. Now, you tend to know more about college basketball and its history. Has this ever happened in the University of Miami?
No, we're 0-6 against number one opponents in all of history. So this will be the first time we've ever beat a number one. Yep, we're
wow.
just about a minute away
margin,
from that.
And by this margin,
I mean, a number one losing by this margin almost never happens. I mean, just a number one team just losing by this many points is very, very rare. You'd have to probably like look that up on some sports website or something, because I can't remember the last time a number one got blown away by this many points. And if it's occurred,
wow,
it's probably occurred against a number two or three team, not against number 25 team, who was just on. We were unranked until last week as well. You know, so it's pretty unbelievable.
We're going to get a hold now of Sean Soriano, CFA interim featherweight champion. We defeated Vilter Delgado for the title at CFA 09 this past Saturday. He trains with the Black Zillions. We're going to get a hold of him right now to speak to us. Mind you, Lazar Sayodinovich is the current featherweight champion.
I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voicemail box that has not been...
We'll try to reach out to him shortly. Let's talk about the UFC on FX, Guillermo. Lots going on, especially with that kick heard around the world with Bisping and Vitor Belfort.
Yeah, it's very impressive. Like, like I said, I had personally thought that Bisping would somehow grind out a decision and get to fight Anderson, but Vitor proved that he's not over the hill yet. He's still got a lot of gas left in his tank, even though he's been fighting what seems like forever. He's only about 34, 35 years old right now. And if you think about just the last few years, he's only lost to top-notch guys. He's only lost to Anderson and John Jones. Who's to say that he can't beat every other top contender out there? And I'm very curious to see what the UFC does with him next. Will they put him up against a middleweight or a light heavyweight? What will they do with him? Because I don't think there's any way they're going to put him up against John Jones like that he wants to happen.
Absolutely. And not only that, now we're expecting that, Vitor Belfort called out John Jones. He said that he hopes Chael Sonnen can get a shot at him again.
Well, I mean, even if Sonnen somehow gets injured, it isn't going to be Belfort that replaces Sonnen in that situation. It'll be somebody else, like a Gustafsson, a Machida, a Henderson, somebody to that effect will be the one that replaces him. So I think Belfort is just wishful thinking. He should have never gotten that shot in the first place, and now he wants to get a second shot that he doesn't deserve. If the UFC were to do that, I've already lost a lot of faith in Dana White's matchmaking abilities. But if they were to do that again, I would totally lose any faith in the way they match up title fights.
Well, on the line, Guillermo, we have CFA interim featherweight champion Sean Soriano on the line. We defeated Vilter Delgado in a 5-round war. Sean, thanks so much for taking some time. Congratulations on your victory, man. Sean, are you there? Hello, Sean.
Hey, this is Nellie from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of
AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code ROMANSHOW and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com from Miami to the world.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-8.
You know what's wrong?
All right, we're back here now on The Roman Show. Guillermo, we had some technical difficulties. Block Talk Radio acting up again, but here you heard the word from Sean Soliano, CFA interim featherweight champion, who will soon be putting it up and unifying it against Ozar Sayadinovic, who currently holds the featherweight championship at CFA. You know, you gotta look when you unify titles, Guillermo. It's something about it. You know that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't agree with the whole interim thing. I mean, unless, like, the champ is going to be out for over a year. I mean, is that the situation, that current champion?
Yeah, he's been out for some time.
I see. Because I was away when he won the title, so I'm not completely sure about, like, his situation. I mean, how long ago did he win that title? In June. So, I mean, it's already been like 7 months since he won it. And he's not projected to come back until when, do you know?
Well, the thing is, he recently got hurt. He was scheduled to fight at a pass show, but he got hurt. His shoulder got hurt.
Right. So, I mean, do you know if it's like a blown-out knee or...?
Well, the shoulder. The shoulder, from what I understand. So,
did he need surgery? I guess he must have needed surgery, no?
No, not that I'm aware of. Well,
I mean, I don't know why they created that interim belt then. You know, I guess it's just CFA trying to get more fans to pay attention or something. But, I mean, I know why promoters do that sort of thing, you know, and especially with a smaller promotion. Like, fans don't really care, like, how long a guy's going to be out. They just care about titles and guys with, exciting styles.
Yeah. Maybe that would be well. I'd like to get the promoter later on, Jordan Alonso, to think of exactly what went down there. But it'd be interesting to find out exactly why that happened. But besides that, it's going to be a good fight because Soriano is a very powerful dude, and Sayadinovic is known for his knockout power. So to get these two out there, you know it's going to be an exciting fight. So really looking forward to, you know, to go at it soon. I had mentioned, Guillermo, while you were off, we had technical difficulties there, that UM surprised Duke. Everyone just ran to the court. It was like a big party out there, man.
Yeah, man, it was awesome. Like, I was actually watching that while I was trying to get back on. And, yeah, congratulations to Coach Jim Larrañaga. I mean, he's been a legendary coach for a long time. He led George Mason, the little school that could, all the way to the Final Four, and I'm glad we got him at UM. He's a upstanding guy. He's not going to violate any NCAA laws. And look at this. He's led us into the top 25, and now we've beaten, you know, number one Duke. I mean, we're headed in the right direction, so I'm very excited about what's to come for UM.
That is just awesome, man. Well, let's get a hold now of Apocalypse MMA. Let's see if we get a hold of it or nothing. Yeah, something is going on with Block Talk Radio, unfortunately, folks, with the calling in. It happens at times. But we'll try to get the issue resolved. But the Apocalypse MMA, guys, it's a website where you can reach out to these guys. And if you're an up-and-coming fighter, they will hook you up with a free website, like absolutely for free. These guys have worked with Misha Tate. They've worked with several big promotions, even Invicta FC, and so many others. And they do it for free. So we're expecting a phone call. Not then, we're waiting then for Corey Hill. He'll be calling on the program in just a short time. But let's take a look at what's going on in the world of mixed martial arts, starting off with Rampage. Now, Rampage is always in the news, Guillermo. The guy saying now he wants to ban. If it was a thing, he'll ban elbows and hit the kicks to the ribs. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, he was saying that he wasn't happy with some of John Jones's kicks hitting the oblique area, saying that it threatens the kidneys and all this, and it's bad. It can cause permanent damage to a fighter. And, I guess he's used to Pride rules. I mean, Pride, they allowed soccer kicks, but they didn't allow elbows. And so, I understand his reasoning behind it. Elbows cause cuts, and cuts can end fights, and cuts can reopen in later fights and cause, you know, many problems. But, I think the mixed martial arts rules that currently exist are the right ones for the sport. And I don't see anything happening as far as that's concerned. I think Rampage is just trying to get himself out into the news. That way that he can get more interviews. That way he can display his Reebok endorsement clothing and get a few more bucks out of it. But, as far as Rampage goes, he was such a great fighter for such a long time. But, I mean, he's really started to slip lately. That loss to Ryan Bader was just atrocious. He's saying that he had an injury. He came in overweight for that fight. But I'm very curious to see how he does against Glover Teixeira, because Glover Teixeira is an absolute killer. He will kill a lot of guys out there. He would destroy Ryan Bader, in my opinion. So if Rampage struggled with Bader, he's going to be in real big trouble with Teixeira. So we're going to find out how much time in this sport Rampage has left by his performance against Glover.
Now, you think that if he does lose, you think that's pretty much for him? He should hang up his boots?
He's already said he's never going to be in the UFC ever again. This is his last fight on his contract. He's not going to sign with the UFC again. He does say that he wants to continue fighting until he's 35, and maybe even beyond that if he's doing really well. But, ever since he lost to Forrest Griffin, he just doesn't look like he enjoys fighting anymore. He doesn't look like he's got his head in the game at all. And, this is not one of those sports that you do half-assed. If you do a sport half-assed, you're going to get yourself hurt permanently. So for his sake, either get serious or get out.
Yeah, you're right about that. Now, did you also happen to catch, because he was one of the folks that had some issues. He wanted to get Reebok in there as a sponsor.
Yeah, Rampage?
He
came up to the UFC requesting that he wear his Reebok clothing to the fight and have his cornerman wear that as well. And the UFC denied his application, so I don't know what's the reasoning for the UFC to do that, because they've allowed Nike to be displayed on many of their fighters, but I don't know why they would say no to Reebok. I don't know if they're doing it to spite Rampage or if they've got a problem with Reebok. I have no idea. I can't speculate on that, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't see why they did it. I understand why they turned down Affliction a few years ago when Affliction was one of their main competitors, but why would they turn down Reebok? It's not like Reebok has a rival MMA promotion.
That's right. Well, right now, in just a few seconds, we're going to have Apocalypse MMA call in. Like I mentioned, this gentleman works for the company, and they hook you up with a free website for young talent out there to get yourself out there to market yourself. So this is just a little
a little community service, if you want to say, on behalf of the Roman Show, because you'll be able to get information on getting a free website here, all the details this gentleman does. And I mentioned here that he works for Misha Tate. He's done stuff for her and other well-known fighters. Guys, make sure you follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. And what's yours, Gabe? Isn't it at Stoneface?
Stoneface16.
Stoneface16, you can follow Guillermo out there. He puts out some tweets every now and then regarding MMA. He's very outspoken to that. And, heck, you could even debate him if you want, whatever you want. Make sure that you follow us, as I mentioned, on Twitter and on our Facebook page. Like it, The Roman Show. Just look it up. And also our website, RodolphRoman.com. And now we're going to bring in Apocalypse MMA. Gentlemen here, good person with a good heart, helping out those young talents developing and marketing themselves. How are you, sir? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely great. Now, Apocalypse MMA, we've spoken in the past. Let these folks know exactly what is Apocalypse MMA and the service, the community service, I would even go ahead and call it, that you guys are doing for young talents.
Well, basically what we're doing is we're first and foremost an MMA apparel company. We're also an MMA media outlet. We started donating and basically donating our company resources, I want to say probably over the last 6 months, to developing fully custom professional websites that anybody in the MMA industry can get through us, whether it's an amateur fighter, a pro fighter, promotion, model, manager, whoever. If they're in the MMA industry, we're here to help them out. We've developed hundreds of websites for people as a way to give back to the community and to help fighters promote themselves. Gives them a space for all their social media, everything inside of it. We show them how to monetize their website and to sell ads to sponsors and things like that on it. But it's mainly just for, like I said, giving back and helping people promote their business, their brand, or themselves.
So if I'm a fighter and I'm starting off, I can go out to you and you will put a website for me together for free and I don't have to pay anything?
Correct. Yeah, we've done websites for, let me see here, we've done websites for Misha Tate, Brian Caraway, Lloyd Woodward. We just launched a couple days ago. Sarah McMahon, Alexis Davis, Tisha Torres, Paige Van Zandt, a bunch of Invicta fighters, Bellator fighters, UFC fighters, and just regular amateur fighters. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Did you let people know how important it is to market yourself as a fighter, whether you're amateur or pro?
It's very important for people to be able to market themselves. It's also more important for younger fighters coming up in the game to really market themselves. Not only that, to build up their social media accounts with a decent following, because that is what's going to give them the power in their favor to sell themselves to sponsors and obviously get more income from sponsors. You know, if you have 10 fans on Facebook versus 5,000 fans on Facebook, the sponsors are going to look at you before the fighter that has 10 fans. I mean, because that's where a lot of the advertising dollars are going, is to social media.
Right. Yeah, no, it's definitely really important. So where can folks call in, visit what website information on Facebook, on Twitter, so they can get more information on how to go ahead and set up a free website account?
They can either go on to our site, apocalypsemma.com. They could look us up on Facebook under Apocalypse MMA, on our fan pages. My personal account is facebook.com/apocalypsemma. They could also go on to MMAsitedesign.com, which has most of our portfolio on there, or of some of the more known athletes, I guess you would say. But there's contact information to get a hold of us or myself, any of my team members, things like that. So it's on Facebook, our site, and MMA Site Design. They can get a hold of us there.
That is awesome, man. Thanks so very much. And congratulations on this effort that you're leading. You know, you're helping out some of these kids get their names out there, so I applaud you on that.
Well, what it's about is making the community stronger and making this the biggest sport in the world. So
awesome. Thank you so
guys
very
keep
much,
training
man.
And
we
fighting, putting on good fights, and there'll be people like us helping out. So.
Will do. Thank you so very much, and we appreciate it, all right? Thank you so much.
All right, appreciate it, man. You have a good night.
You too, thank you. Well, there you go, Guillermo. If you want your own website for free, man, then you know where to go. Apocalypse MMA, they'll hook you up with a free website. And it's a great idea. You got to brand yourself. You know, look at some of these guys. Take a look at Chael Sonnen, for example. You know, where would he be if he wasn't for all of the talking and the smack talking he has? And on Twitter, when he was going at it with Chael Sonnen, it was entertaining to watch these two go at it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely got to brand yourself. And that's actually something that Tito Ortiz has been saying forever. I mean, he was actually the first MMA fighter that I would say that really, really took that to heart and was the first major superstar in the current era of the UFC, not counting guys, you know, from the early era, from, you know, the Royce Gracies and all that. You know, and then after him, guys just started doing it. You know, Chuck Liddell with the Mohawk and the Iceman and all that, and it's just gone from there. And, you know, now we got the current guys like Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silvas and Rashad Evans and John Jones, who are all about branding themselves, the GSPs. You know, those guys, they all have to thank those guys from the early days. And these guys are picking up on that and trying to do that for the new generation. You know, it's definitely admirable.
All right. Well, Guillermo, let's move on next to CFA flyweight champion Josh Sampo, who is on the line. Josh, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Congratulations on that victory against Alexis Vila. First and foremost, man, you know, you're very emotional when you got that win against Vila in his home crowd. How what was the feeling you first felt, man, when you won that belt and they raised your hand?
Definitely, it was just overwhelming because I knew how much things were stacked against me, you know, with it being in his backyard and the pedigree that he has. And I just, the fight wasn't going as I was wanting it, but I just, you know, I just kept plugging away. And I don't know, I didn't, if I was in his shoes, I probably would have went to sleep. I wouldn't have tapped, you know what I mean? And the fact that I didn't know if I had it or not, and the fact that I made him tap and be the first one to make him tap, it just was overwhelming in the, you know, halfway through the fifth round. Just everything all hit me all at once, you know. So it felt like the culmination of all my hard work paying off, you know. Like, if you guys knew what I've been going through with school and trying to coach a wrestling program and student teaching, and then on top of that trying to train, it's been a rough and rocky road. But, you know, the fact that I was able to pull it out, it just kind of all solidified it.
Wow, that is just good, dude. And now 41 years old this guy is. Did he feel like a 41-year-old?
Dude, no. That guy was cocky, so strong, man. And he hit like a freaking brick shithouse, too. So it's 41, 21, it doesn't matter. I mean, that guy is an elite athlete, and I think he's still got a few more years in him, too. I hope he continues to do this. And I madly respect the guy and hope that when I'm his age, that I'm still able to compete at a level that he does.
Now, you said that you looked up prior to, you know, we had you on the show prior, that you looked up to this guy for his wrestling skills. So to not only beat him in his own town, not only to win and get the belt, but defeating him, how does it make you feel as a fighter? Now you're obviously way top ranked now.
It feels good. I'm glad that I got the finish, you know. Like, I knew that was the only way that I could win, was either getting the knockout or the submission. And I was hitting him with everything I had, and it wasn't even fazing him, you know. Like, he's good at masking it if it was hurting him, but I felt that I had to get a submission, and at the end of the third or end of the fourth round, I walked up a straight arm lock underneath that not a lot of people saw, and I knew that, you know, he was susceptible to submissions as long as I could lock him up tight and hit it hard. So, I don't know. Just I'm glad it paid off.
Now, were you also aware that he had lost his father prior to his fight?
I did. I saw a post on Twitter, and, you know, and I gave him my condolences. I kept him in my prayers, you know. I don't know how I would respond if I lost my father a week out. So that probably was in the back of his mind, and I didn't want to bring that up at the press conference or anything like that. That's just kind of like a douchebag move if I would have done that. But the fact that he still fought, still took the fight, you know, on that, it's, you know, just more respect for the guy.
Gotcha, Guillermo.
Well, congratulations again, Josh. And now you've got a nice little three-fight winning streak, with the last two fights actually being the two biggest of your career, Antonio Banuelos and Alexis Vila. Now, Vila was rumored to possibly go into the UFC with a victory against you. Do you feel that now that opportunity is going to be granted to you because of this?
It would be awesome, but ultimately that's not my decision. You know, I'd love for it to be my ticket in, but, you know, like I said, though, that's not my decision. I don't make those decisions to be like, hey, I don't call up a boss and say, hey, I want to work for you. I got to wait for them to call me. And that was one big reason we took this fight. You know, we knew it was a high-risk fight, but it also came with high reward. And I'm hoping that, you know, the right people caught wind of it, the right people saw it. They saw what they wanted to see in a fight. I thought it was pretty exciting from bell to bell. I don't know how the fans felt, but we'll see, man. I'm hoping it does catch Dana's eye or Scott Shelby or Scott Coker, whichever one it is. So we'll see, you know, but the decision's not ultimately up to me.
Well, looking at your career here, I mean, you won three in a row, you lost one. You won three in a row, you lost one. You won three in a row now. What's different about you that will prevent you from losing that next one? And what do you think? What do you think? How have you evolved over the last couple of years here?
My stand-up has come a long way from where it used to be. I think I'm a smarter fighter. I train better. But, you know, at the end of it, it's not you still got to get in the cage. Anybody can get knocked out or submitted or defeated by anybody at any time. The hard part is catching them on that day, you know. So, you know, it could happen. I'm going to train my butt off to not make it happen. So we'll just we'll see who the next opponent is when that time comes, and then train diligently for it and work my butt off, and then get in that cage and throw down.
Now, looking back at your record here, you know, you've got 5 submissions, 4 decisions, but your stand-up looked very impressive against Alexis. I mean, this is a guy who knocked out Joe Warren. So is that a phase of the game that you've been concentrating on and training? Is that something that we might see you get some KOs and TKOs here coming up?
Yeah, hopefully. In my last fight against Antonio Benuelos, I ended up breaking my index metacarpal on my right hand. So I think I was favoring it a little bit, not really trying to put everything into it. It was kind of messing with me all training camp, but I was doing what I could to kind of make it 100% for this fight. I just tried to put it out of my mind. My stand-up coaches, Patrick Christie and Quentin O'Brien, they, like I said in other interviews, is that they put me in Muay Thai fights, just straight up nothing but stand-up fights, you know. And I felt that was the worst part of my game was my stand-up coming from a wrestling background. So fighting some of those top-level Muay Thai fighters has really brought my game and my confidence up as well, just to be able to stand in front of people and trade. So I'm definitely going to work more on that, but I'm going to work on every aspect as well. So.
Gotcha. And Joshua, how did you celebrate your victory?
I'm sorry?
How did you celebrate the victory?
We went and got dinner. I had a porterhouse steak and a beer.
And that was it for you, huh?
That was it for me. We had to catch a pretty early flight the next day, or a pretty early shuttle to get back to the airport, so I didn't get time to enjoy what is Miami. But I had a bunch of buddies down there, like Mike Rio, I went to college with, and a couple other college wrestlers that I went to college with lived down there. They're like, hey, come party with us, but it didn't end up panning out. You know, I didn't want to end up missing that flight home. So just a steak and a beer was sufficient.
Well, Josh, thanks so much, man. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
Just thanks for having me. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks, CFA. I want to thank Alexis Vila. And like I said, he's going to be in my prayers with the loss of his father. And I couldn't imagine what that would be like. I don't know what I would do if I lost my dad. So, but I definitely respect the man even more now that I've thrown down with him, you know. So, but thanks for everything. And, of course, all glory goes to God for giving me this opportunity and giving me this ability, being able to showcase it.
Good. Any word when you're going to fight next, or we're still waiting on that?
Still waiting on that. I talked to my coach and my manager, and we I'm in the final stretch of my grad school classes right now. I'm actually student teaching at a local high school. So once that kind of takes up majority of my time, and I want to, you know, give that 100% because I'm not going to be able to fight for the rest of my life, so I got to have a backup plan, and teaching is going to be my backup plan for now, or it might even be my, you know, my first plan, but I got to get done with that first, and then we'll concentrate on fighting. But you never know, if the right fight shows up at the right time and I'm able to train hard for it, then we'll take that. But, you know, we're going to play by year, but maybe not till June, July, so we'll see.
Gotcha. Well, Josh, thanks so much, man, and congratulations again, all right?
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Will do. Thank you. Well, there you have it, Josh Sampo, who defeated Alexis Vila for the CSA Flyweight title. Congratulations to him. He celebrated with a beer and a steak. Simple as that, Guillermo. I think that's a good way of celebrating.
And if I just went through all that exhausting fighting and burning of calories, I would want to stick something like a steak in me too, man.
You probably want to stick a fork in him. He's done, man. Yeah, congratulations to him, man. That was a hard-fought victory. He pulled off a victory that a lot of people didn't believe he was going to get, but he did it, man. He totally did it. I was very, very impressed with him.
Very much so. Guillermo, let's take a quick break, and we're going to try to get a hold here of Corey Hill, and now he should be coming in soon. So hang tight. We'll be right back with more on The Roman Show.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks,
check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show.
Check it out. Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching The Roman Show.
And there it is. Dana White, Chuck Liddell, leading us into The Roman Show. Back at it again. As we were anticipating here, an interview with Corey Hill, who fights at the XFC event in February. Shortly coming up, you know, so we're trying to get a hold of him. The XFC will be going down in February. You can see that live on Access TV. It's going to be taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's on February 22nd. The show starts at 5 p.m. You can get your tickets on their website, officialxfc.com. Guys, make sure you're on Twitter, at RomanDH. Follow us. Follow all the action there. And if you have, you want to speak to us, you want to watch some of the, or hear some of the past interviews, head on over to RodolphoRoman.com. Or you can head on over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/RomanOMAN0201. And you can catch some of the video interviews, including the Cain Velasquez, which has been very popular. Especially something, you know, every time we have Cain Velasquez, there's always this racial issue that comes to play. I don't understand what is it about if for some reason someone starts talking about the whole racial card because he has that brown pride across his chest with Cain Velasquez. Never really understood it.
No, I don't get it either. I mean, like, you know, I don't know who these people are that are complaining because all the important characters in it, like all the media, Dana White, everybody stands up for Cain. So who are these guys that are making these comments? I think these are just some trolls on the internet, man, to be honest with you, because I haven't seen the face of any of these people who are complaining yet.
Yeah, it's really, really kind of obnoxious to hear those type of comments in modern day where we've really forgotten about this whole racial thing. But they go
out. There's still some people out there. There's still some people out there, unfortunately, that have not forgotten it. But you know, I'm hoping that we put that chapter of this country behind us and we can move on and just look at everybody as a human being, not as, you know, black or white or Hispanic or whatever it may be.
Yes, hopefully. All right, the Ultimate Fighter was yesterday, Chael Sonnen, John Jones coaching this season. What were your thoughts? I personally thought it was very cool. They added these different shots when it comes to the angle of the camera. I don't know. It made it more a little bit more to me, more personal, more humanized. You know, you kind of get more deep into the fighter. What were your thoughts?
Well, I like the whole part about having the families there. I mean, that did add a little something extra to it. I didn't really see the Chael Sonnen that we're used to. He tried a couple times to create a little trouble, but it's not like anything we've heard before. You know, when it came to, you know, talking about Anderson or even some of the stuff he said about Jones before. Hopefully we'll get to see more of that later this season. But from what I understand, like, they actually were pretty friendly to each other during the taping of the show. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I really want to see
some of these. It doesn't look like some of these old seasons, like when Shamrock and Ortiz were coaching against each other, or when Rampage and Rashad were coaching against each other, where they were all up in each other's faces.
Right.
It looked like they were just two guys who respect each other's abilities, and you know, they're just there for the fighters, to help out the fighters. I didn't really notice that clash between them like we've seen with some other guys.
Yeah, it was a little different. I expected sometimes, you know, I remember it was the Rampage. That was a lot of fun. Rampage and Evan, and they broke the door, and you see all of the aggression. And it was a lot of drama. But this time around, the only thing I saw was, you know, that, oh, one of the best knockouts I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I watched UFC tonight, just a couple nights ago. I mean, last night, probably. And they were just, they interviewed John Jones, and he was just saying, you know, I came into it thinking that Chael Sonnen's a jerk and all this. And I came out of it thinking, well, you know what? He's a real stand-up guy, and he does his trash talking just to get people to buy pay-per-views. And, you know, I've always wondered about that. And, you know, it does seem that Chael is that type of guy, some guy who just fabricates drama to line his pocket. You know, it doesn't seem like he's ultimately hating any of these people. I mean, behind the scenes, for all we know, you know, him and Anderson are freaking having a barbecue together, and him and Jones are going to probably do the same. So I'm wondering how much of this stuff is real and how much of it's made up by Chael.
Yeah, and remember when he asked Anderson Silva for a barbecue?
Well, actually, Anderson was joking with him after he won the fight.
No, but what was it
yeah.
first that Chael told Silva? You know,
Chael told Anderson to tell his wife to make him his steak, you know, raw or medium rare or something like that, and that he'll walk into the kitchen and slap her in the ass or whatever. That's what he was saying, and that's what actually set Anderson off. You know, but then after the fight, Anderson was just like, oh, now let's squash this. Now this is over. Now you can come over to my house and we can have a hot dog together or whatever. Yeah, I thought Anderson was just mocking Chael, but who knows, maybe he was being serious.
it's a lot of funny. Chael Sonnen, man, always a funny dude to watch. So that's the Ultimate Fighter. Now, Dana White now says that if Johnny Hendricks defeats Jake Ellenberger, he could get his title shot last. You know,
I think that's
Johnny
a huge slap in the face to Johnny Hendricks. He earned his title shot a long time ago, and he just got screwed over. I don't think Dana White should be saying, oh, maybe he's going to get a shot if he beats Jake Ellenberger. I don't think that's right. I think he should definitely have already had the title shot, and I think he should guarantee that he will get his title shot if he beats Jake Ellenberger. But, you know, Dana White's always going to say, oh, well, you know, injuries happen, timing might not be right,
you know, maybe George gets injured, whatever, you know. But, I mean, Johnny Hendricks earned his shot a long time ago, and just because George hates Nick Diaz, that's the reason he got passed up. I didn't think that was right the first time, and I think it's not right that Dana's saying maybe he'll get his shot if he beats Ellenberger. He earned his shot, and you should guarantee it if he does beat Ellenberger, because he's already had it guaranteed for a long time.
Yeah, I know that about it. Those impressive victories. Wow. How could
he really got screwed over. What was that?
Yeah, how could you not give this guy a title shot, those impressive victories? I mean, it's not like if you beat
him. Yeah, five in a row, and two of them against top five guys like Kampman and Fitch. And he beat Kozchek as well. I mean, what more do you want from him? Like, the guy who's fighting for the title lost his last fight. I mean, there's just something so wrong about this right now.
Yeah, you're right about that. And let's talk about now coming up next. We got the meeting that Melendez, Gilbert Melendez, will be meeting UFC lightweight champion Benson Henderson at UFC on Fox 7. That's going
to
be a lot of
fun. Yeah, this was the right call. This is the fight that needed to be made, because there's really no clear-cut guy at the moment to follow, you know, that would be as good as Gilbert Melendez. Like, you got the winner of Cerrone and Pettis, but Cerrone's already lost to Henderson twice. And Pettis would definitely be an intriguing matchup for Henderson, but they're fighting now, and Henderson's ready to fight, you know, not that long from now. So will Pettis even be ready? Will he come out injury-free from this fight? Will he win? And if Cerrone wins, what happens? Like, you got to put Cerrone up against Henderson for a third time? I mean, so I think it was the right move. Get Gilbert Melendez in there. Hopefully by the time, like, that's all resolved, Pettis will be next in line. If not Pettis, then maybe they can sign Eddie Alvarez and get Eddie Alvarez over if he can resolve his whole Bellator thing, you know, contract dispute, lawsuit.
That's right. Well, this Saturday, Johnson versus Dobson. Demetrius Johnson goes up against John Dobson for the flyweight title. That should be a great fight there. And then Quinton Rampage Jackson versus Glover Teixeira. Donald Cerrone versus Anthony Pettis. Eric Koch versus Ricardo Lamas. This is a good fight card on Fox starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah, well, man, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. And in the preliminary, you got Clay Guida versus Hatsu Aoki, TJ Grant versus Matt Lehman, and the list goes on and on. What can we expect from this fight card?
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of people are overlooking this card because the flyweights are headlining it. And I just never understood, just because they're lighter guys, that people don't respect them or don't think that they're exciting or that they don't have knockout power. But, I mean, you got two of the fastest, most technical guys in the UFC going up against each other. Honestly, I don't know who's going to win this fight. I just have a pretty good feeling it's going to be really exciting. You're going to see a lot of fast punches. Heck, if there's a knockout, you might not even see that punch. Like, you might have to watch it in slow motion, the replay, to even see what happens. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens to that. Dodson's very, very creative. He's a lot like Pettis. He does a lot of unorthodox kicks and punches that you normally don't see. And, you know, of course, Johnson's just extremely fast, has good wrestling, and he's very technical with footwork. So it's going to be a really exciting fight. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm really looking forward to seeing Cerrone versus Pettis. These two guys are killers. They're very exciting. They got great stand-up, and they both have very, very good ground games as well. So it'll be very interesting to see, because these guys were supposed to fight in the WEC a long time ago, and for whatever reason, it just never happened. So I'm really looking forward to that one. I have a big say about what happens with the lightweight division after Henderson and Melendez fight. And imagine if Melendez gets injured, one of these guys might be in line, you know, for that title shot.
Yeah, I'm definitely about that. What do you got? Ricardo Lamas. You know, we spoke to him. He's very feel confident about this stuff. He's coming out some good victories against Eric Koch. What happens if Ricardo Lamas wins here? Get closer to a title shot? Does he get a title shot?
Well, the way I look at it, man, like right now, the featherweight division is pretty clear cut. You got Aldo fighting Edgar. The winner of that fight will fight either the winner of this fight, Koch and Lamas, or they'll fight the Korean Zombie, you know, because those are the guys at the top of that division. So basically, that's the way I look at it. The only other guy who's at the top of that division, apart from the winner of Lamas and Koch and the Korean Zombie, is maybe Dennis Seaver, and he can pull off a victory here or there. So this fight is critically important. It's very likely that this fight will determine the guy who fights the winner of Edgar and Aldo.
Mm-hmm. That should be a good one, man. It's going to be a good fight, and obviously next week we have the Aldo and Edgar fight. We're coming up on pay-per-view. That's going to be a good one as well. So looking forward to that one. So we got a lot of MMA. We also have Bellator tomorrow. King Mo is back. In fact, he even said, I saw an article that he states that pro wrestling training is a lot harder than MMA.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit concerned for Bellator's sake about this whole King Mo thing. It seems like he's very distracted and very in love with the cameras and the publicity. And, you know, like I said, I said this earlier tonight, you can't go in MMA half-assed. You go in half-assed, you might get yourself permanently hurt. And Bellator, this feels a lot like back when Elite XC was investing all their money in the Kimbo Slice. And when he lost, they went down. Well, what happens if King Mo loses here in the first round of the tournament? I mean, what's that going to do to Bellator? They're putting so much of their, you know, their apples into this basket. I mean, what are they going to do? You know, I mean, I'm hoping for Bellator's sake that King Mo wins, because every other person in that light heavyweight tournament has lost. I don't know, every other major fighter. Babalu lost, Seth Petrozelli lost, and then in the other fight, they had two guys that nobody knows about. So if King Mo loses as well, you're going to have four guys in that semifinal that nobody knows about, and all your big stars out of the tournament. So Bellator needs King Mo to win. They need King Mo to win this whole tournament, actually. But if he loses in the first round, like, what's that going to say about Bellator as a company? You know, they're going to look like a second-rate place.
You're right about that. Look what happened to Babalu Sobral. He lost last week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That light heavyweight tournament, everybody was saying, oh, it's going to be King Mo against Babalu against Seth Petrozelli. And look, Seth Petrozelli and Babalu both lost. And now if King Mo loses to a guy a lot of people haven't even heard of, I mean, that tournament's going to be in trouble. The ratings for those shows might be in critical danger due to that. So I don't know what Bellator's going to do. They better hope that King Mo wins. King Mo should win easily, but you never know, man. I mean, if he's distracted with all his wrestling stuff, if he's got some injuries that he got from the wrestling training, if he's sore, I mean, all these things, if he hasn't been training in enough MMA because he's been thinking about wrestling too much, I mean, he could get upset, you know?
You can. You're definitely right. We'll find out tomorrow night on Bellator, which now has returned to Spike TV. Again, they made their debut last week. But frankly, the numbers were pretty good from what I understand. Their debut was good. They really pumped it up as far as promotions goes. And you're also going to have the main event tomorrow, Ben Askren versus Kara Musu. Muhammad Lao versus, I can't even pronounce this guy's name, Prezim Slaw Musiala for the light heavyweight tournament. And then you're going to have there the Douglas Lima versus Mikael Strauss, and then so forth here on the fight card, which starts tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern time, and they're going to be live from Oklahoma. So you're definitely right. They do need those stars to be in there. Speaking about stars and Bellator, Eddie Alvarez, we haven't heard anything yet as far as this thing and the UFC.
Yeah. So basically with the whole Eddie Alvarez thing with Bellator, well, Bellator is actually going to court over. Even if Bellator wins against Alvarez, that does not mean that Alvarez goes to Bellator. All it means is that Eddie Alvarez owes them damages, and he owes them money. And once he pays them that money, he's free to sign with whoever he wants. So basically, that's what they're fighting over. Either Eddie Alvarez will be a free agent clean and free and be able to join the UFC, or he will have to owe Bellator damages. It's not like he's going to have to honor their contract. He's just going to have to pay them damages for violating the terms of his contract, and then he'll be free to sign with whoever he wants. So that's basically what they're fighting over. A lot of people don't understand that.
There you go. Well, Guillermo, that pretty much does it, wraps it up. We couldn't hear from Corey Hill, unfortunately. We're trying to get a hold of him, but no word yet. Hopefully we'll have him next week here in the program. With that being said, your final thought?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the card this coming weekend, especially the UFC one. I mean, Glover Teixeira has been on the rise for a long time, and if he's able to destroy Quentin Jackson the way he did Fabio Maldonado, he's going to get a top five guy next. Someone along the line of a Shogun or an Alexander Gustafsson, somebody to that effect, maybe the loser of Machida and Henderson. And so this is a huge fight for him because the UFC is definitely rooting for Glover, because if Quentin beats him, the UFC has lost a contender in Glover, plus they've lost the guy that beat him in Quentin.
But if Glover can beat Quinton, then Quinton's not worth a damn. And the UFC's okay with that because he's leaving. And now they've got a star in Glover that they can promote. So it's a huge fight. You know, the UFC's going to be really rooting for Glover here to win that fight against Quinton. So it's going to be a huge card.
Well, guys, that pretty much wraps it up for us. We'll catch you next week. Same time, same website, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. The Roman Show will return with more MMA talk. And next Tuesday we have a big, big show, 8:30 p.m. If you're on a date, you need some tips, don't worry about it. Angelina, she leads a blog. She was on MTV. She will give us some tips on how to treat a date on Valentine's Day and how to get a date, for that matter, if you don't have one. Also, Carlos Hurtado, who is a personal trainer, will talk to us about his book. And D.D. Lux, they're a local South Florida band, will be on board and possibly even jam to the music. In fact, let's jam to the music right now as we say goodbye on this lovely night. For that time, man, everyone, stay safe, be cool. We'll catch you next week here on the Roman Show. Thanks for joining me again, Guillermo. And we'll do it again. Next week, man.
See you, man.
All right, good night, guys.
You're pressing your body on top of my body. Too many lips, bits too speak. I wanna know wherever you're going. You're brimming up color, two holes in your outline. I've been waiting for you in this moment forever. Forever's about time. Why don't you begin with the dress and I'll cover the rest of the dangerous mess that we've both living in. But giving it to the night, it's a night to play with the fair sun.
Let's come in to the fire that's been lit. All the lost runs through your blood and the sex rips from your skin.
What's up, this your boy Kimo Slice, and if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Aroma. If you keep your eyes upon that man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Aroma. This your boy Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.